Well, dear ones, we are going to have a pre-recording sermon, and the topic is going to be entitled The Amazing Holy Bible. I will put the link on the side if you're not able to have access to the chat. I'm also putting the link of the sermon itself, and later you can be able to either use it in case if you miss anything. The link is right on the side of the in the chat. I hope and pray everyone can be able to see the study in the room. Please let me know, because I have a lot of things loaded in my side of the computer.
It is titled Ancient Words. And we're going to be going over the amazing Word of God today. And so this hymn is very fitting. Scripture words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let these ancient words impart. Scripture words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let these ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, Bible words will guide us home. Scripture words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let these ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Scripture words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let these ancient words impart. Praise God for these ancient words. And shall we pray? Precious Father in heaven, we thank you for being a God of truth and righteousness. We thank you for sending the word of life down to us. And thank you, dear Savior, for being the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Spirit, for inspiring the prophets of old to write the words of God down in print. And thank you, Father, for preserving their writings and for putting them together in one book, that we may truly have these ancient words to give us the wisdom that they impart, the truth that will lead and guide us in righteousness and show us the God of truth. Father and Savior and Spirit, we pray that you will continue to be with us, bless our gathering together, and indeed, Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth, that we may comprehend the word of life and be able to follow the path of righteousness that it reveals to us. Thank you also for the grace and the strength to change if we find that we are going astray from this word of truth. And thank you that there is free forgiveness if we confess our sins and forsake them. We shall have mercy. So we thank you for being here and for leading and guiding us now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, the subject of our sermon today and also next week is the amazing Holy Bible. And there are many different ancient books of sacred writings that people claim are the only truth that the world needs today. And Christians believe that this one special book of sacred writings is the Bible. But is this belief correct? Is the Bible indeed the truth? And can it be trusted not to teach any error that would lead us astray or cause us to go into false and dangerous pathways? So is the Bible indeed the truth for today? And this is what we're going to be investigating into. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1993.htm. So lightministries.com/ID1993.htm. If you look at quote number one, what are the sacred writings of the Bible commonly referred to as? And in Matthew 21, verse 42, we're told, Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? So we see here that the sacred writings of the Bible are also referred to as the scriptures. And what other title is given to these sacred scriptures? In Luke 8, verse 21, And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. And also in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, These sacred scriptures are to be read, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So the Bible is also known as the scriptures and as the word of God. So then the next question comes up is, can we fully trust these inspired words of God to be the truth? Now, if you look at quote number two, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, He is the rock, referring to God. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. And we're told in Psalms 12, verse 6, The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. In other words, perfect. So we can see that the scriptures can be trusted because it comes from a God of truth, and these are pure words, without iniquity, without falsehood. So then the next question comes up, exactly how were these scriptures and this word of God given to us? And if you look at quote number 3, in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And then in 2 Samuel 23, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. So we see that the scriptures, this word of God, the Bible, was given by inspiration of God unto the prophets whom the Spirit spoke through. So, who were these prophets that were inspired by God and the Holy Spirit to write these sacred words of Scripture down? And we're told in 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this shows us that God did not choose to inspire evil and wicked people to speak his words of truth through, but he instead chose individuals that were good and righteous, whom he inspired and made his prophets to speak these words of God through. And that makes a difference, because we can know that the words that God spoke did not come from a corrupt channel or through a corrupt channel, but through a righteous and good channel. So then the next question comes up, what was the purpose? What was the reason why these scriptures were given? And if you look at quote number 4, in Hosea 4:6, we're told, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we see one of the reasons why the scriptures were given by God to us is to get rid of this lack of knowledge, to grant us the true knowledge. And in Psalms 119, verses 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And also in Romans 15, verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So the scriptures were given to give us knowledge that would be a guide as a light unto our path throughout the darkness that is in the world. And they were given for our learning. And so as we read through the scriptures, what is the main theme that we will discover? What is the very central aspect of the scriptures? We're told in Luke 24, verse 27 and 44. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, or Jesus Christ, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. And at the time that Christ spoke this, they only had the Old Testament. So that meant that everything that was in the Old Testament, including the law or the writings of Moses, all the prophets, and the Psalms, were all about Jesus. So Jesus is the main theme of the scriptures. And so then what will we learn from reading the scriptures? What will we learn about Jesus? In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And then in 2 Timothy 3:15, the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So when we look at the scriptures, we see Christ represented, and we see that Christ is righteousness, that he is wisdom, that he's the source of doctrinal truth. And he's also the source for reproof and correction if we've gone astray from the path of righteousness, so that we can be completely furnished with every good deed and action. We'll know exactly what to do and what not to do. And ultimately, if we follow the word of God, if we follow the example of Christ pictured therein, we will become wise and obtain salvation. So as these scriptures are the pure words of God, delivered to holy men under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and these scriptures reprove, correct, and instruct us on how to be righteous and perfect in life. In other words, making us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. Then can we understand God's word by our own mental ability? Can we understand the word of our Creator by our own created knowledge? A lot of people believe so. Well, let's see what the word of truth says. In Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. In Mark 7, verses 21 to 3, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. So this shows us that we of ourselves, of our own mental capacity, no matter how great that might be, are incapable of understanding God's word. God's word is pure. All our mental ability is corrupt. The imaginations, the thoughts that we have are evil. So then we can't trust to our own mental capacity to understand the truth of God's word. We may be able to read it, but we may not fully understand it with our own supposed wisdom. In fact, in Proverbs 28, verse 26, we're told, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. So then, since we are of a fallen, sinful nature, and the thoughts of our hearts are only evil continually, and we can't trust to what we may think is the correct understanding of God's word, this shows us that we need outside help to be able to correctly understand what God is saying in his sacred word. It shows that we cannot trust to our own private mental interpretation of his word because it's foolishness. We need help. But whose specific help do we need? Do we need the pastor's help to understand, the priest's help, perhaps the pope's help? Whose help do we need to understand God's word? If you look at quote number 6, in John 14:26, we're told, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." In Ezekiel 36:25-27, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols I will cleanse you," or "will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you." What a promise, dear ones. And then in John 16:13, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." So in order for us to correctly understand God's sacred word, we need help from the author of that word, which is the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost not only inspired holy men, prophets, to write and to speak God's word, but he's also willing to guide us into correctly understanding God's word. And the promise is that when we come to God with our whole heart, he will cleanse us, he will give us a new heart, and he will give us the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us into all truth. And thank you, Father, for doing that. So then once God has cleansed us and given us his Spirit, then how should we regard these inspired words of God that we read in the scriptures? How should we look upon these, this word of God? And if you look at quote number 7, from Job 23:12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." In Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." In 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And of course, the Spirit will be with us to lead and guide us in the right understanding of the truth. And then in 2 Peter 1:19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star," or Christ, "arise in your hearts." So then once we've gone to God for help, for cleansing, and he's given us a new heart, and he's put his Holy Spirit within us, and the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us into all truth, then what will happen if we take heed to study God's word, to follow it, and to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? What will happen if we keep God's commandments? In Proverbs 2, verses 3 to 5. If thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. And in John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. So if we do take the time to study God's word, and if we're willing to live by every word that we read there, if we search for the hid treasure of inspiration, the things of God, then we will find the knowledge of God. We will know of the truth of God's word, the doctrine that comes from the Most High. And we'll be able to know this word compared to all the other so-called doctrines of God that are out in the world. We will know the truth and thus be set free from error. So there's quite a lot of importance placed upon the Bible, the Word of God, the Scriptures. And when you look at the Bible as a whole, there's 66 different books that compose the sacred word of God. There's 39 books that comprise the Old Testament and 27 that make up the New. But it's been around 4,000 years since the earliest prophets wrote their particular books contained in the Old Testament. And it's been 2,000 years since the prophets of the New wrote their words inspired by God, making up the New Testament. So then how do we know today, some 4,000 years later, that the Holy Scriptures were not just written for those people who happened to be living at the time of these particular prophets? How do we know that the Bible is not just for them, but is also for us today? If you look at quote number 8, we're told in Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. In Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And in Psalms 12, verses 6 to 7, the words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation, in other words, when they were written, forever. So then, since God's word is the truth, and this word will last forever, then it wasn't just written for those at the particular time when the prophets wrote the words. It wasn't just written for their generation, but it's also written for our generation. God's word never ceases to be truth. It will not pass away. It is not limited. It's forever. So since these scriptures will last forever, and God's word is the standard for determining what is truth, then by God's word, we will also be able to see what is error and avoid it. Remember, God's word is for correction. So then by God's word, we see what is truth versus what is error. And in Isaiah 8:20, we're told, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So God's holy word, the Bible, is the standard for determining what is truth versus what is not truth or what is error. And so when individuals bring to us a particular doctrine claiming that it's truth, we don't have to accept their testimony. We don't have to accept the testimony of our friends or loved ones, those whom we respect, or even all the churches combined. We can go to God's word and determine whether the doctrine they brought us is truth or not. If it agrees with God's word, to the law and to the testimony, then it's truth. But if it disagrees with God's word, then there is no light in it. It is not truth. So the Bible was written for us today, not just for those living back at the time when the prophetic writers penned these words, which shows us that these holy scriptures are not a dead book. It's a living book. It's not a dead word, because God's word lasts forever, which means it's a living word. It's present truth for you and me. In Amos 3:7, we're told, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So the secrets of the Lord are found written in his holy word, in the Bible. We're also told in Daniel 2, verse 28, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known what shall be in the latter days. So we see here that written within the word of God are found prophecies that deal with the last days, with the very days in which we live. So the Bible is definitely not a dead book. It's a living book. It's the word of God that lasts forever. It's the guide into the path of righteousness, into the truth, and away from error and everything that is false. And there's specific scriptures dealing with what will occur in the future, which means that the Bible is a book that will lead you to understand things you've never thought of before. And that's exciting. At least to me, it's exciting to learn something that I did not know. So the secrets of the Lord are revealed to his prophets, and the prophets were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the things they did in the Bible. So these secrets of the Lord are known as prophecies. And when you look at how many prophecies are found in the scriptures, you'll discover that there's approximately 2,500 different prophecies throughout God's word. That's a lot. And do you know how many of these prophetic predictions have come true? How many of these 2,500 prophecies have been fulfilled? And we will discover the answer to that question next time. Can the Bible be trusted to never lead us astray? We will find out. And so we hope to see you next Sabbath, dear one. But praise God for His word of life. Our closing song is Give Me the Bible. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming. Since Jesus came to seek and save the lost, give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Give me the Bible when my heart is broken. When sin and grief have filled my soul with fear, give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible. Holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till light shall vanish in eternal day.
Dame la Biblia, luz de vida eterna, junto al sepulcro su esplendor alzar. Sobre el Jordán destáquense las puertas, fulgidas de la célica ciudad. Dame la Biblia, santa y clara nueva, luz del camino angosto y celestial. Regla y promesa, ley y amor unidos, hasta que rompa el alba eterna.
Amen. Give you the Bible indeed to lead and guide us in the narrow way through precept and promise, combining obedience and love until we gain eternal life. And thank you, Father, for giving us the word. It's time for a closing prayer, and who would like to offer that for us? Please go right ahead.
Thank you, dear Lord, for sending us your word and printing it out in so many different languages so that all may know about you, that all may know that Jesus gave his life to save us. The wonderful plan of salvation, how truth is better than lies, how we may know the perfect truth because we can read it with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for people who preach the true word of the Bible that open up our eyes and our desire to read it for ourselves. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and guide us to all truth and to help us live the life for Jesus. Be with us now as we go into the week ahead of us. Guide our footprints, guide our thoughts, and keep us on the straight and narrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, dear Remnant family, we have come to the end of our service. And now we're going to open the room that you may have any questions or comments or songs or hymns that you would like to share. You may unmute your mic, dear ones. May you have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath for those that are leaving right now. God bless.
Thank you so much, dear Sister Rose. And thank you, dear ones, for your prayers and thoughts. I am feeling better. So praise the Lord for that. I wake up feeling pretty good recently, but then as the day goes on, I end up going back to feeling bad. So it's getting better. It's just a lot slower than what I would like. I guess that's part of growing old, but if you can avoid it, do so at all costs because it's not fun. Anyway, thank you for your continued prayers. And again, thank you, dear Sister Rose, for covering for me this Sabbath, and I will need another Sabbath. So thank you for covering for that as well. Keep looking up, dear ones. God bless.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.